Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Mark Forman, the Associate Director for Information Technology and E-Government in the Office of Management and Budget. And joining us in our conversation is Dave Carr, another PwC partner.
Mark, in our last segment, you talked about the various e-government initiatives, and one of those initiatives, one of the family of initiatives, has to do with government-to-government. A lot of discussion in that area now, especially around the issue of homeland security. Can you talk a little bit about that?
As I mentioned, the government-to-government arena is so important to us because it is state and local government that really owns the delivery channel to the citizen. That's the same that we're finding in homeland security. And indeed, as we looked at the government-to-government initiatives, four of those were also incorporated in the budget as part of the homeland security initiatives. Generally, the way I think you have to measure how well we're doing with e-government in the citizens' eyes is how responsive are we to their needs. As we looked at the homeland security arena and as we look at e-government, one common element came out, and it's the quality of decision-making across the various levels of government. Now, in homeland security, they call it vertical information sharing. In e-government, we just call it intergovernmental affairs. But basically, we have two key measures that we're focused on. One is, are we accelerating the response time? So it shouldn't matter if it's the response time for obtaining a benefit, be it unemployment insurance or some other safety net program. If it's the response time on a public safety issue, disaster assistance, law enforcement, if we can increase the response time, we know we'll be successful. And we know that we have to do that as a partnership. The collaborative tools, the knowledge management tools, the workflow integration tools that come out of e-business are tremendously useful to us in this arena of government to government. So they affect those projects. But let me give you some specific examples, because the corollary to that, if this works, is improved quality decision making. One of the initiatives is the Disaster Preparedness One Stop, a portal essentially for working with state and local governments to prepare for and respond to disasters. This too, like our other business architecture areas, is one where the federal government has lots of good silos of initiatives. But as a whole, we haven't done a good job in working together as a government with our delivery panels, our partners. So when we had our partnership meeting in the Disaster Preparedness Portal, and we've done this for each of the government initiatives, we laid out a fairly clear set of objectives and goals on how we're going to better work with state and local government. And at that meeting, an emergency management director showed up. He laid it out very clearly. He told the departments and agencies in the federal government, and we had roughly 50, 60 people there, he told them how difficult it was for the state and local folks trying to deal with a disaster. 50, 60 different initiatives, all good initiatives, but they're making it so difficult on the state and local folks that have to respond to disaster that indeed they may be hurting the ability to save lives and protect property. He laid out very clearly and really motivated this group of federal employees to work together to define a very simple process, an integrated approach for dealing with different elements of the disaster planning and disaster response delivery channel. So I think that's the type of thing that we see. Obviously, that's both a homeland security function and an e-government function, because the way you do this now is you leverage mobile business or mobile-type technologies. You leverage e-government, e-business-type approaches. You leverage the workflow, the simple processes, and so forth. And that's what you see in general as the nexus between homeland security in this vertical information sharing arena and the government-to-government portfolio.
Talked a lot about technology, but cybersecurity hasn't come up. So I'm curious where it fits in these priorities.
In an environment where we have so many services online that we rely on the backbone of the Internet to perform the work of the federal government, security is tremendously important to us. In fact, it's important to us as a country. The president signed an executive order, created the Critical Infrastructure Protection Board, or many people call it the Cyber Board, to focus on this issue. I sit on that board and indeed chair a committee under that that focuses on executive branch information systems. But the bottom line is, for many years, we've realized that cybersecurity is important for the economy, and it's important for the federal government and its role in the economy. We've adopted a five-part approach to dealing with that. First, through some recent legislation called the Government Information Security Reform Act, we've required the secretaries of the departments and agencies of the federal government to submit to us an evaluation of their security plan that's based on an independent evaluation by their inspectors general. Second, to put together an action plan that fixes the problems, the gaps identified in the current program. That then we worked in through the budget process for fiscal year 03, and we'll do the same thing in fiscal year 04. Third, integrating into the business case process. So in these business cases, in these capital investment plans, we literally score each business case on how well they address security. Do they embed the appropriate security? Because we don't want to pay for that after the fact. We'd rather have that built in from the beginning. Fourth, we've adopted something called Project Matrix, and we literally required each of the departments and agencies to do this assessment. It's a vulnerability assessment. It's a contingency operations or business continuity planning initiative. It tells each agency what are the vulnerabilities for that department. How should they address that? What kind of contingency plans should they have in place? What kind of backup? And what we found is that we need now to look across the departments and agencies. I mentioned the redundancy, but we know that redundancy can be good if you have that integrated with your disaster recovery plans. So indeed, we're doing a cross-agency application of Project Matrix. The final thing is to have an audit trail in place. So literally, we focused the deputy secretaries of the President's Management Council. We were incorporating that into the scorecard to make sure that each of the agencies are addressing the gaps that they have and that they're continuing to identify and address those gaps. People say, well, gee whiz, last year you identified a number of gaps, but the gaps seem to be growing. We're in a point now where the gaps are growing because we're identifying them. And I think what's happening in industry and what we're bringing into government for this year's iteration of that approach is a 24-hour cycle time, the ability to respond quickly to vulnerabilities or threats as they're identified. So part of doing that is adopting a modern approach, a web services approach for that. And we've set up at what's called FedCERC, the Federal Critical Incident Response Center at the General Services Administration, that ability to have that 24-hour response time.
Mark, we've talked about the Quicksilver initiatives. We've talked about the business cases that were developed in advance of these initiatives being funded. How are you going to measure success? Is it? I guess that it's probably contained. The criteria is contained, identified within the business case. But how will I as a taxpayer know that things are different, things are better?
Well, I hope you don't have any problems in your interfaces with the federal government right now. But if you do, and there are quite a few programs and quite a few customers of the federal government, I have to say the state and local governments, especially in the post-9/11 environment, have been very vocal on where their problems, where their issues are. That is where we'll see some of the biggest change. So we are generally looking for some very simple measures. We're looking for an order of magnitude improvement. But we talk about things like the time it takes to get a decision. You know, in the past, even for benefits, it typically took the federal government months. We want to get that cycle time down to days or hours. Similarly, if you look at Homeland Security and if you look at a lot of the government-to-government initiatives, we don't have weeks or months to make a decision. That has to be down to hours, maybe minutes if possible. So cycle time is an often important criterion. The other is the measure of program performance. And exactly as you said, these initiatives, whether they're cross-agency or within each agency, link back to actual program performance. So we're looking for the productivity improvement down to the level of that program. We have some other types of measures, and we're tracking this all via the scorecard. So my objective and how I measure the performance of my direct reports is in getting the federal agencies to green for that e-government score on their scorecard.
We have time for one last quick question. I'm curious, Mark, what advice would you give to a young person interested in a career in public service?
Well, there's no doubt about it. This is an exciting time to come into government. I would say at this point, this year, be a little patient. We're in transition. We are rebuilding the recruitment processes for the federal government. All the departments are working on strategic human capital plans. They're understanding that the workforce is changing. It is a tremendously rewarding experience. But I have to say right now, you have to be persistent. You have to be willing to work via the USA Jobs website, via other aspects of getting into government. To get in. I think getting a master's and entering through the Presidential Management Intern Program is a tremendous way to come into government.
Well, we're out of time. Dave and I want to thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, and it was a pleasure to be here. If you want to see more information about the e-government initiatives, I'd encourage people to go to the omb.gov website. Look at the budget. Look at Chapter 22 of the Analytical Perspectives. It goes out into excruciating detail on how we did the first ever IT strategy look at the federal government. As we go into the summer, you'll see a new look and feel for the omb.gov website. You'll see the scores of the various agencies on eGov as well as the other management agenda criteria.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Mark Foreman, Associate Director for Information Technology and eGovernment in the Office of Management and Budget. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.